I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. Hope you're having a good day. Mike, we got to start, man, and let people know these storms are blowing in, so be careful out there. I think it's going to be raining and windy, and we have a severe thunderstorm warning that's going on. So we only bring that up to let you guys know if you're listening to us. And Mike and I were talking about this before the show. You know, we have no control over Mother Nature. So right. if one of us loses our signal, we want you guys to know, like, the station is not down. But these winds and storms are blowing in, man. And it's just, man, it's been this way all spring. It really has, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's humid out there. And, again, the Dukes and Bell AccuWeather, and by that I mean our buddies at the Weather Channel up off of 75, looks like a band of showers. It's coming across north, basically moving from the southwest to the northeast, Carl, based on my compass. So, again, be careful. Careful out there, and again, especially after yesterday, and this is a terrible. I read the story of the guy, the restaurateur in Douglasville, that everybody just seemed to love, and he got hit by a tree. And I hate to start this show with, you know, some negative. I mean, it's just, there's no way around it. But be careful out there, guys, and again, watch out because it is. Carl said it's just been a really active summertime. It feels like summer, spring already.
It really does. All right, man, we got a lot to get to today. We talked a lot about the draft. We'll continue to talk about the draft and the impact of this draft on our football team. Today, we get a chance to not only talk to one, not two. We get a chance to talk to both Jalen Mayfield, okay? He's the offensive lineman from Michigan. And then a little bit later on in the show today, around 5:20 or so, Drew Dahlman's going to stop by, Mike. And again, he's a kid that we drafted, I think. Again, if this is an open competition, we could be potentially looking at our center. Now, you said this yesterday. The guys we have on this offensive line, have they proven enough to say, hey, they solidified it, solidified their spots on this O-line, and they are the guys? I don't know if Arthur Smith is going to come in and say that. I think this is a wide-open competition. At the end of camp, who's ever been the most physical, you know, the guy that's gotten all the correct reads and calls and made the less mistakes, is probably going to be your starters.
Not two, not three,
that's right.
Not four.
That's right.
Hey, man, but that's the thing. I mean, we are going to have more competition with guys that are, again, it's younger guys. They check the boxes on as far as the metrics, the size, all the thing you're looking for. Now just a matter of who's going to get out there. And, again, I don't know what the new – and we said this, don't know what the new regime feels about Matt Hennessy. It was only a couple of games we got to see him in action last year, so it's not the, you know, not a big sample size, but perhaps they feel he's better served as a guard, or they're going to see if Dahlman can play guard and move to center, or, you know, as we said, you know, we've also got Jalen Mayfield, and will he play left guard, or is he going to push Caleb McGarry for the right tackle? The good news is we have competition. Dan Quinn, and I'm not trying to bag on the old regime because you guys know what happened. We'd always talk about competition, but it never bred excellence, did it, on the offensive line?
No, not really. I mean, part of it is I just don't think that we had enough talent. You know, again, Alex Mack was a free agent acquisition. We didn't draft him. So the guys that we drafted, when you look, and we're just talking about the last 5 years. Let's not talk about right. The last 20, okay? The last 5 years, the guys we drafted, I've said this. The jury is still out, and this is not a knock. I think Lindstrom is going to be a good offensive lineman, but this is the year they've got to take the jump. The Caleb McGarry move was interesting. And now you look back at that and you go, okay, we moved back into the first round. Ultimately, you know, we could have got more value in that pick if we stayed the course and maybe took him later, but they didn't do that. So you trade back into the first round. So technically, he's a first rounder. Technically, Caleb McGarry should be giving us more than what we're getting right now. So, Mike, that's the big question mark for me.
Right. Now, Caleb, you know, he had his, you know, his own bumps in, along the way. He had to deal with that heart ablation process. Remember
right.
his first year because
yep.
of a regular heartbeat, and they got that thing straightened out. But it's just I think he's got some definite attitude for the run game. I think his game is suited towards what we want to do, but he's got to improve his pass blocking. That's something that's been brought up by a number of our analysts and guys who watch the Falcons too. So, you know, I don't think he's a fail yet. I don't think McGarry's a fail, but I do need to see more. Lindstrom, I'm totally down with. I think Lindstrom is rock solid. And to be quite honest, the trouble kind of came from the left side last year. You know, I mean, there was trouble on all sides, but from my mind's eye, Carl, there was more trouble coming over the left side.
Well, that's why the guy we're going to talk to in about 10 minutes, Jalen Mayfield, could be a big help to this Falcon football team. And, Mike, if he's able to plug and play, which, again, I don't know how he's viewed. You don't draft a guy unless you feel like he can play for you immediately, and especially in the third round. You know, we talked about Richie Grant, the safety. I'm already starting him. In my mind, he's a starter, okay?
Whether he likes it or not, you're starting Joe.
Exactly. He's a starter. But Mayfield, he's got to come in and prove that he can plug and play. And if he does, then that is going to shore up the thing you've been most worried about. Because when you say that this offseason, it's probably been the thing you've talked the most about as far as the O-line and that left guard spot.
Right. I mean, right, about the left. Yeah, man, it's just about the, you know, the I don't know what Carpenter – it's funny because if you go by the Pro Football Focus guys, apparently he had a decent year. Well, then Jake Matthews must have had an awful year because there was a lot of stuff that was coming off the left side of the line. We need to go back to 16, guys. Chris Chester plugged in, Andy Levitre. They weren't stars. They weren't Pro Bowlers, but they played an entire season and there was continuity. And now we want to try to get that going. It's not kind of like what the Cowboys had for a couple of years. They kind of squandered that really good offensive line. I mean, it's a key. You got to have it. The Chiefs had it 2 years ago. They didn't have it in the biggest game of the year last year. So the fans don't ever talk about O-line, but it's something that we've never had done right, save for one season in the last 5 years.
All right, and if we can get this right, by the way, if you're a non-believer that this team can be a contender in 2021, 2022, then this part of it's going to change your mind, because this is the part that not only protects the quarterback, but not only creates holes for the running game, but is going to give you an opportunity to have a balanced offense, which is what we continue to talk about. And, you know, when you say you're balanced, that doesn't mean Matt Ryan doesn't have games where he throws for 40 times, you know, 45 times in a game. If you're doing that and you're having success doing it, so do it. The problem becomes we can't rely on that. And that doesn't help Matt in the long run when he's dropping back that much and potentially teams are coming after him. So there is a lot to be answered when we talk about offensive line in this draft. And we're going to talk to both guys that we drafted at least early on. Dahlman was a fourth-round pick. And, Mike, you know, again, I thought that was a smart pick because of his pedigree. His dad played in the league. We'll talk to him about that. And he's been here. I mean, he actually, as a kid, he was spent time here with the Falcons, which is ironic. Now he's been drafted by him. So let's hope these guys can jump in the mix, man, and really help elevate what I think is going to be a better offensive line. I'm going to say this, Mike, and I know some people don't agree with this. People always want to point to protecting Matt, and I think the line is not as bad as we think it is. But there needs to be improvement. And this is what we're talking about. Jake, Lindstrom, McGarry, play up to your capability. If they do that, Mike, then I think we got a real chance to improve.
And again, the run game, guys. I know we've said it. That's the thing when Arthur Smith got hired. I mean, we need some attitude. You just don't sit there and say, all right, guys, be a more aggressive offensive line. You guys, get after it. Offensive line, I know defense, people think the defense are the nasty guys out there. No, Randy Mack, ask him. And Hugh will tell you as well from the morning show, the offensive line can be the real dirtbags. And I mean that in a good way. You know, the Harvey Dahls, the Mud Ducks, the Tyson Claybos, the guys we always go back to that when Matt Ryan first came in the league. Just real nastiness, playing to the echo of the whistle. I mean, yeah, that's what you want. If you look at the Titans, you know, look at Taylor Lewan, look at how they run the football, look at that attitude you create. Then you respect our run game. Our run game, let's be honest, Carl, it's been lip service the last three seasons. I mean, other than a couple of games with Todd Gurley, and of course, he fizzled out over the injury issues. We've not consistently run the ball. And I don't care if you're, you know, Joe Montana or Bart Starr, you've got to have some degree of balance. Even the quarterbacks like Mahomes, even the guys, the new Jack quarterbacks, right, the dual threat, you've still got to have the run game from the guy behind you as the tailback.
Yeah, because teams still have to respect that. And when they don't, that's when they pin their ears back
right.
and they come after you. You know, so with all the weapons Kansas City has, and that's a great example, they still run the football. You know, and Andy Reid still finds a way to try to run the football. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as we come your way live on Twitch. ATL929, the game. You can watch us there. Make sure you subscribe to all of the exclusive content and make sure that you get access to it. We're also on the gram, guys. All about the gram. And on Twitter at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. This radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. And we encourage you to interact with this, as so many guys have. It was interesting after yesterday, man, when we talked about the, you know, how we felt about whether we can turn this thing around. And we're going to talk about the Braves, who are back at it tonight. We will definitely dive into the Hawks, who continue to show me something, which I'll explain. But, Mike, I think it's probably, I don't know, 70-30 based on the folks that, you know, responded yesterday about feeling like this thing can be what we want it to be. I think more people feel like this is still a work in progress and we're not going to turn this thing around and probably won't be a playoff team. And I just think every year in the NFL is different. And I know, you know, it sounds cliche, but it really is. Mike says it all the time. Every year there's teams that fall off and there are teams that elevate. Are we going to be a team that elevates? Because last year we fell off with expectations, by the way. Are we going to be a team that elevates?
Right, and we've said this for, you know, the all off season. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Well, the plan is, guys, I just laid it out. Carl just touched on it, the run game. I get it. There's Falcon fatigue. You don't believe in it. You know, I said, and by the way, if you're not a Falcon fan through thick or thin, I don't know what to tell you.
Shut up. Hey, that's what you tell them. Shut up.
I mean, anybody who's grown up in Atlanta has grown up with some really crappy owners. Let's be honest. The Smith family were like, you know, hit and miss. They never had back-to-back winning seasons until Arthur Blank took it over. We got Matt Ryan here. I mean, think about the Braves over the years. I mean, God bless them. Ted Turner wanted to win, and eventually they figured out how to do it. And then, of course, we sold it to a corporation. It's like, but you're not going to not be a Braves fan because Liberty Media owns them, right? And the point I'm getting to is, yeah, we might not always agree with the personnel moves. We all thought that most of us thought Arthur Blank should have canned Dan Quinn 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, and the general manager should have been canned back in 14 when Mike Smith got. But you don't stop being a fan. So that's something, and again, Carl, I don't know, is that something that's, is it anachronistic in 2021 where, hey, you just say, you know what, I've given this team a few years and I don't see it. I'm now exercising my right to defan the Falcons. Well, go ahead and defan your way.
I'm going to unfollow. Right.
I mean, seriously, go defan your way to Chicago. And again, I get it. Fields was an attractive pick. I liked him too, you know, and we wish him well as long as his interests don't conflict with our interests with the Falcons. But this whole thing that I'm done. All right. Well, I mean, you don't even know. That's the thing, guys. We don't even know, Carl, what this new group of guys can do. We don't know yet. And then if they don't do it right, you and I will be the first to be pooping all over it when there's ample example, right?
Oh, trust us.
We
will be first in line. But even with that said, as we, you know, Arthur Smith hadn't run a play, hadn't called a play.
Right.
I mean, Matt Ryan hasn't run a play under him. You know, the Julio hadn't caught a ball under this regime. So let's let it play out. But I think there's a lot of hope about what it can be. All right, speaking of hope, he hoped he got drafted. Then he did. Now what's he going to do? Former Michigan offensive lineman, now Atlanta Falcon, Jalen Mayfield joins us next on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. We are excited about the new additions to our Falcon football team. And Mike and I are going to get a chance to chop it up with a couple of big old linemen today. The first being Jalen Mayfield, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. And Jalen, welcome to the A, first and foremost. And we know you were super excited to get drafted, man. But just first, talk about that feeling when you get the call and you know this is really happening.
Yeah, so I felt, you know, just I was waiting forever. It felt like, you know, the call would never come. But once that call did come, you know, I was ecstatic. You know, I got very emotional in my room. And, you know, I really, you know, it opened my eyes to, you know, now I'm an NFL football player. And, you know, I just was so ecstatic about that. And I couldn't wait to get started.
So how did you spend your draft weekend, man? What did you do? Were you watching the TV or did you just get on with your life?
I was sitting there staring at the TV just hoping, you know, maybe somebody, you know, missed a call or I didn't get, you know, good enough reception and hopefully my name popped across the board. So I was sitting there staring at the TV most of the time.
Well, guys, it's Jalen Mayfield. And, you know, part of this discussion about you has been you were a tackle at Michigan but projected as a guard. Okay, so what have the Falcons told you about tackle or guard?
Yeah, they really haven't specified yet anything about that. I'm just coming in, trying to be as versatile as possible, whether that be playing left guard, right guard, you know, or either tackle spots. Just making sure, you know, my skill set is up to par with, you know, whatever position I do go up to. And, you know, I'm just looking for, you know, the best way and quickest way to get on the field for me.
Speaking of, experience and being on the field, I was reading your bio, Jalen. Apparently, you were a pretty good defensive player. Matter of fact, Carl, he was the Grand Rapids Press Defensive Player of the Year, 17 sacks, 3 fumbles. I mean, that's pretty darn cool. So, I mean, is it more fun punching out as an O-lineman or trying to get after QB as a D-lineman?
I definitely have fun on both sides of the ball. You know, whenever I did take the field, I looked to be the best in whatever I do. And so, you know, whether I be on defense or offense, I always try to give it, you know, my best shot. And I was very talented on the defensive side, but, you know, I thought offense was, you know, my true passion.
All right, Jalen, before we talk more about the NFL, your dreams, hopes, aspirations, let's talk about where you just came from. What's going on up there with Harbaugh, man?
What's the deal? Don't put that on him.
No, I got to find out, Mike. I mean, we've been talking about Harbaugh for months now. We finally get a guy who was in the locker room, who played every day for this guy.
All right.
I'm just curious. Jalen, fill us in, man. Like, the college football world, we're wondering, Michigan this year, we know, you know, 2020 was crazy. But what was your experience like playing for him?
Yeah, there was a lot of ups and downs to my career just being there. There's a lot of different, you know, things I had to experience going up there that I don't think many people had to experience. You know, we have been on a rough patch lately, and I think, you know, part of it has to do with, you know, the inconsistencies we have, of, you know, players just truly understanding what, you know, what the goals that we want to reach are. I think, you know, some of it has to do with, you know, not communicating enough. And I think some of it, you know, just has to, you know, be pushed back on the players for not getting the job done. So, you know, there was definitely ups and downs. But, you know, I think if there's better communication through a team and, you know, what really are our goals for the season, I think it'll be a lot better.
Jalen, real quick, I got to follow up on this. It's Jalen Mayfield, guys, one of our newest Falcons, third-round pick out of Michigan. Are you saying there was finger-pointing, like players not understanding completely what the goal at hand was?
No, I just think, you know, some people weren't as focused in, you know, on football. I think people, you know, were there, you know, not 100%, you know, devoted to, you know, making a playoff and, you know, winning the Big Ten. I think some people were a little scared at times, you know, when the lights got bigger and the stage got bigger for us. But, you know, we had a lot of people, though, that were focused in. But at all times, I don't think we had all 22 guys that were on the field always focused specifically on, you know, making the team better.
Mm. Carl, man, trying to get in this guy. Man, see this, man, Jalen? You're in a big city now, and now we're playing the Michigan card on you, bro.
Hey, I appreciate this brother's honesty.
That's great stuff. I mean, and by the way, bringing it back to the gridiron is Jalen Mayfield's with us, guys, one of our new linemen, our rookie class of 2021 here on Dukes and Bell. Speaking of the big house and everything and the great rivalry with Ohio State, I told Carl I was watching some of the video package that they have on you. You did a fantastic job against Chase Young, who, of course, last year was everybody's number one at defense. They did not think you needed help against Chase Young. So how proud are you of the way you did against an elite defender in the Big Ten?
Yeah, going through the whole season, you know, I, you know, knew it would come down to that game for me, and, you know, that's always what it comes down to with Michigan, Ohio State. But, you know, I just kind of prepared the same way I did, and, you know, I trusted in myself. I believe I'm a very good player, and, you know, I know he's a good player, but I have a lot of confidence and belief in myself that, you know, I can get the job done when, you know, the lights are the brightest and they're really shining on me. So I feel, you know, I'm very confident no matter who I match up against that, you know, I'm going to get the job done. And, you know, whether that be with help or without help, you know, I got to get my job done somehow. So, however I got to get my job done is, you know, the way I approach it. And sometimes it might not be the cleanest of things, but as long as, you know, somebody stays upright, we can get the ball delivered, we can create a scene, you know, that's always a good thing for us.
Falcon fans, I hope you heard that. He dominated Chase Young.
All right, testify.
I'm just saying. I want to put it out there. It's our guest, man, Jalen Mayfield. Jalen, we do this every day, bro. Don't worry. Yeah. So let's talk about your dad and the influence. He played at Ferris State, right? Did he have a big influence on your football career? And talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, he's always, you know, been a coach when I was around, and he's definitely somebody who, you know, loves the game just as much as I do. You know, he coached me in high school, and you know, I learned a lot from him, and you know, he always, you know, would push me to the furthest, you know, I could be pushed, and he always wanted what's best for me. So, you know, football's always been my blood, and you know, I devote a lot of my, you know, success to him and the way he pushed me growing up. So definitely some, you know, definitely family ties and my success.
So what did you know about our organization as Jalen Mayfield joins us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer? What do you know about the Falcons going into this? And who was your team when you were a kid growing up that you pulled for?
Yeah, the team you know, that I really followed was Atlanta. I was a big Mike Vick fan growing up, and I actually, you know, my first cleats I ever had were his. And, you know, I was just a big, you know, fan of him and how he changed the game and, you know, played with such a, you know, excitement for the game and just really changed the overall, you know, view of football. So I grew up an Atlanta fan. You know, it's kind of different being from the Midwest, you know, with Detroit and Green Bay and all those teams up here. But, you know, I never really found, you know, excitement like I did when I watched Mike Vick play. So
crazy. That's what's up, man. I mean, it's always interesting to hear these backstories from guys that grow up watching guys, and then you go on to live your dream, and then you get drafted by a team that you watched and paid attention to. We're excited about what you bring. Have you talked to anybody else from this draft class? Do you know anybody else from this draft class? Or this is, you're going to meet all these guys when it comes time with OTAs and bringing in all the rookies?
Yeah, I trained with Richie in this pre-draft process, and I talked to Kyle a little bit, just texting him back and forth. But I'm just really excited, you know, to get involved, you know, with such, you know, talented people coming out of college. And, you know, I've read a lot about them. And, you know, I feel like we have the same exact goals in mind that, you know, we all want to have success as a team, you know, right when we get there. And we all want to contribute very, you know, very productive seasons, especially this year. To get the ball rolling the right way. So, you know, I'm really excited for our class and can't wait to see what we got.
I know it's going to be a little weird because we still have the COVID protocols. So, I mean, you're now going to be a member of the Players Association. So is it going to be a little strange? Because I know you want to hit the ground running, but there's also – how's it going to work? What do you know about how the rookies are going to approach the offseason?
Yeah, I know everybody's going to be different. I know there's a lot of, you know, different concerns and stuff that's going on with that, but you know, I'm just really excited whenever, you know, it does get started and rolling, to get the opportunity to practice and, you know, get to know my teammates. So anytime that, you know, it starts, I'm ready to go.
Jalen, you said you and Richie Grant were working out. Where was that, down in Florida? Where were you guys working out, and what were you doing, just getting ready for your individual pro days kind of deal, or what?
Yeah, we're just training in Pensacola, Florida, getting ready for pro days and doing all that.
Okay. Well, man, we appreciate you jumping on with us. We can't wait to see you get on the field and what you bring to this football team. And, again, versatility is what you've been preaching. You don't care if it's guard or tackle, right? You just want to get out there and contribute and play.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Well, appreciate the time, big guy. And we'll try to get more insight into what happened in the big house next time we speak with Jalen. Best of luck, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Jalen Mayfield. 6'5", 320, and that's before, you know, probably the cheeseburger he's about to eat right now. So
right.
He's probably 330, to be honest with you. Lots of positives about this young man, and it was a necessity for us to address the O-line.
Right.
So we did that, and, you know, whether he plays guard or tackle, as he said, Mike, the bottom line is, give me talented players. We always talk about this, guys. You know, oh, well, we got this player. Oh, I don't care. Give me as many talented players as I possibly can get, and then let me figure it out. And that's really what we're talking about, Mike.
Right, and again, edge and attitude, as Carl and I have discussed a million times. You can go to a smaller school, you can go to a school which is, like, let's be honest, a blue chip for putting offensive linemen in the NFL, and that's whatever you think about Harbaugh, and we don't like Harbaugh, but Michigan has always done that. And as I said, talking about his matchup with Chase Young, Carl, when he was 19, they were giving John Runyon help. He was basically battling and holding his own against Chase Young one-on-one. If you're looking for, you know, some kind of a measuring stick, I think that's pretty impressive.
I'm impressed. And again, remember when Chase was coming out, it was no secret. He was the premier pass rusher coming out of college. He is a player for the Washington football team. And this young man was like, I got him one-on-one. So that speaks volumes about the confidence he plays with. Hey, man, we got plenty more to get to. We'll come back. Braves in action tonight. Atlanta United in action tonight. And the Hawks continue to show me something. It's next. Shout out and thanks to our guest, Jalen Mayfield. Fun, entertaining, smart guy, Michigan man. I love the fact that he wasn't afraid to acknowledge some of the things that have been talked about there with Michigan.
How about that? I mean, just real quick, I was busting your chops because, you know, normally, you know, he would maybe not want to go down that road. But, yeah, it just sounds like there is, because there's been other things that have come out of other and previous classes, by the way, Carl, from Michigan with Harbaugh. Sorry to cut you off, but, I mean, it just shows you there's just something that's not connecting under Harbaugh's leadership up there in Ann Arbor. Right? I mean, how else can you describe it?
You can't, because, you know, we talk about these top 10 classes, right? That the all-important recruiting classes. Michigan's right. Classes haven't fallen off.
They have putting guys in the league, too.
Yeah,
right.
They haven't been Alabama, but it's not like they're 50th in the country every year. So it is Michigan. And again, if you've never been to Ann Arbor, it's a beautiful place. They've got great, great history, tradition. And you know, if you live in the Midwest, and again, you know, we're in the South, so it's a little different. We're skewed. But if you live in the Midwest, and I have family there, it is about Michigan and Ohio State and pretty much everybody else after that. So when you see Michigan not winning the way that they should be, or at least the expectation, it gets back to coaching. And the most important thing he said, and Chris, at some point we'll pull this and replay it, but for all the talk about, you know, what Harbaugh is and what he isn't, when he said that the message is not getting through, there's a communication issue going on. And whether it's coaching the players, players to coaching, everybody's not buying in. That, to me, gets back to the head coach. Never have we had a conversation about Alabama and players buying in. Not once. We've had discussions about who the quarterback's going to be and if the running back's going to be as good as he was last year, but they buy in. And I think, Mike, that gets back to the head coach and Harbaugh. So I appreciate him at least being honest in his circumstances. But then what he didn't say was even more interesting. Did you hear how I started that conversation? He said, there are a lot of things I went through that people didn't know about. Like what?
Right.
What are you talking about? So I think there's a lot more there. And again, remember, they extended him because the COVID thing, they didn't want to fire him and have to pay him. So he took a pay cut, but something ain't right there at Michigan.
Right. And again, all that stuff about him coming down to the South and recruiting the big boogeyman that was going to be Harbaugh, it's come to nothing. As you just laid out, they're still putting guys in the league, but no one, I mean, nobody, I mean, thinks these guys are a force or a factor. And I think, I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of people thought they ducked Ohio State. Well, you know, again, under COVID, there's a lot of people you can't convince otherwise up there in that part of the country.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Find us. We are on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. And follow this radio station. Stay what's up with what's going on at 929 The Game. Chris behind the glass. Now, I got to give a big shout out to Chris today. Mike, did you see this damn shark thing that he tweeted out last night?
Yeah, the picture? I mean, but again, I mean, come on. That's only 6 feet, Carl. I mean, come on.
Only.
I don't know, man. I mean, I grew up in Long Island, and there's always a shark, especially out there in the east end of Long Island. They were like the guy that Captain Quint, Frank Mundus, is actually based on. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been in the water, Carl. I've seen some things, but
deep sea diving with Mike Bell coming up this summer.
No,
Stay tuned.
I mean, I'm glad. I mean, maybe are you never going to go in the water again, you big candy ass? I mean, it's a shark's. The water's the shark's house.
Come on.
You know, I mean, come on.
Mike, you're kidding. If anybody saw that shark, and by the way, it's out there. We retweeted it. But Chris, our producer, our engineer, went to the beach last week. He's down in Florida, and he's like, he told us his story yesterday on the show. And then when I saw the picture of the guys playing with this shark, Chris Thomas, by the way, follow Chris on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. But when I saw the picture, it changed my whole perspective, Mike. Because it's one thing to go, hey, I think there's a shark over there. Because
always
play.
No, I mean, I just, Chris, and I'm being a ball buster, I just don't even think about it. Because if you ever really think about all the stuff that's out there, you won't
go
in the water.
Right.
We were in Naples a couple years ago, right off of Tiger Tail Beach off Marco Island. And I posted that video a couple years ago, Chris. There was literally a 9.5-foot hammerhead shark that eats a tarpon, bites it in half. And he was literally about 50 yards from where we were all just kind of floating outside in our noodles by the boat. So, yeah, I mean, I get you. You don't really want to think about it, because if you do, you'll never, ever go in the water again.
All right, man. Bo Morgan, executive producer. Chris, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start first with the Hawks last night. Mike, you talk about a big win. Whoa, I did not expect them to respond the way they did. I thought, we'll be in the game. Are we going to be able to finish? Mike, they finished the game last night. That was a good win last night.
It's a good Blazers team. That's the third team in the Western Conference. At least they were last night. I mean, coming into it, Carmelo Anthony made some history. We'll talk about that in a second. But it was, Danilo Gallinari, and this is what we've talked about. If Bogey heats up in the first half, then that's great that Gallinari is heated up in the second half. They were bombing threes. We do kind of, Carl, live and die by the three.
Yeah.
But it was a great win. And unfortunately, you know, the schedule does not get any easier. We've got a really good Bullets team. They're actually now fighting for the playoffs. We're going to see them twice next week. So this was a huge game that we could not afford to lose.
Here's the thing. Every time we think or we make excuses for why we should lose, they respond. And it shows the scrappiness of this team, even without all of its pieces. Can they do this in the playoffs? I don't know. I mean, I'll wait in a few weeks and we'll see where this is at. What I do know is they are capable. When you or I count them out in a game last night where everybody went, oh, Blazers, then they got the Suns, man, they'll probably lose two this week and maybe win at the end of the week. No, they're coming out and they're competing. For that alone, Mike, some people think, and this gets us to a bigger conversation, that Nate McMillan has already wrapped his job up, that Nate McMillan is going to be the long-term Hawks coach. Now, I don't know that, and I told you guys, I want to wait and see how the season plays. If we lose in the first round of playoffs, I'm not going to be a happy camper because I think we can still win and be in the second round of these playoffs. But that's yet to be determined. But, Mike, a lot of people feel like because the way the team has responded, Nate has earned the opportunity to be the head coach.
I just got to – I'm with you. I know that you want to be excited about where he's done. And, again, what he's done compared to what Lloyd did has been great because we knew they were just – we just talked about Harbaugh and Michigan. Sometimes there's a disconnect. There was a definite disconnect here. But Nate's record in the postseason has never been great. And I don't know if there's something he's picked up along the way, Carl, that's going to be different this time. You know, we're still in a tough spot. I mean, the idea that you would match up against, you know, the physicality of the top three teams in the Eastern Conference, we don't want to just sit here and go, hey, we're happy to be in the playoffs. No, we should have been in the playoffs last year in the bubble. But I'm with you. And maybe, do you feel that Nate will get traction for another job after this if we don't swing his way?
I do. Listen, Nate has reinvigorated his opportunities in the NBA. I didn't think he should have got fired with the Pacers, okay? But that's neither here nor there. He had his star players hurt. He had them in the playoffs. The Pacers, let's be honest, it's the Pacers. They weren't relevant. They were getting a lot further than what people thought they would. Mm-hmm. But when it mattered, his stars were not there. So the thing for me is it's a wait and see. But, yes, Mike, I do think if we don't go that route that he will get another job somewhere else in the NBA now.
But the good news is last night, guys, playing with poise. We talked about it. I mean, 3 points, Trey out. I mean, again, everything coming together. If we can just get DeAndre Hunter out there. And another thing, this is something that a listener brought up to me on Twitter as the game wrapped up, and I was congratulating the Hawks for winning. Is it a done deal? Just while you're talking about contracts, is it a done deal now that we will bring John Collins back?
No.
I don't think it is. And I hate the fact that we're going to do the Al Horford scenario all over where he'll walk and we'll get no compensation. But, I mean, for instance, we're going to see DeAndre Ayton on tomorrow night.
Right.
Right? We're going to see. It's almost like I need more physicality out of him down low. And I just don't know if he can provide that night in, night out. Is that unfair?
No, not at all. And remember, the Hawks are in control. They will have to just match. If they want to do it, they can. Okay? If they want to match a potential offer, they can do it and pay him. But no, Mike, this is not a done deal. You're absolutely right. I mean, they could say, you know what, it's been nice. Thanks for the season. We wish you the best of luck. And they move on, and he ends up signing an offer sheet somewhere else. I just hate it because of what you just said with us getting nothing. If you felt that way, you should have tried to trade it.
And that was the point of the texture or the guy hit me on Twitter last night. And John went for 15 last night. But I just... it's not the slam dunk that I thought it was, pardon the pun, a few weeks ago. Trae Young, by the way, all his shots from the free throw, and getting to the stripe again, 21 points, but it was Gallinari was the big story along with Bogey with the three-pointers. Bogey 7-14, Gallinari 7-10 last night, Carl.
All right, here's Nate McMillan talking about Gallo and his importance to this team.
It's very important. You know, you got to have a first and second unit, and he's a big part of how we play in that second unit. His ability to score, You know, that combination of players, we really haven't seen a lot with Lou and Kevin and Gallo. And what we're trying to do is get a rhythm with that group.
And we haven't. He's right. Mm. Braves in action tonight, guys. You know, on the hill, they're taking on the Nationals. Joe Ross is going to start for the Nats, Mike. And we'll get a chance to see our newest addition to the team, Contreras. He's replacing Darno.
Behind the dish. Right.
So we'll hear from Brian Snicker coming up a little bit later on about that and Contreras and what they expect from him. The problem for me with the Braves is, and everybody keeps telling me it's going to be fine, I don't know if it will be. I'm worried about the way things have been going. Now, the good news is that the division's not running away, but you can't just keep thinking that we're going to snap out of it when we have never really snapped in it. All right, coming up, Terry Bradshaw, Mike. Did you see his comments?
Yeah, man, Aaron Rodgers. And it sounds like it's amazing how history has repeated itself, but I don't remember Brett Favre doing some of the things that Aaron Rodgers is. And to Carl's point, Terry Bradshaw blows him out of the water. We'll talk about it next with our Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.